We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Welcome back in. It is Fesco in the Morning on a Monday, along with Bob Fesco, Ryan Wachowski. I'm Josh Klingler. This is our normal time where we check in with our Royals insider. Someone didn't pass him the memo, though. Our new Royals insider, Jay Binkley, didn't realize he can do these on the phone. He's with us in studio. Jay, what are you doing here? The game is not for another almost 12 hours.
Well, I had to do a few things, and my gym is just down the road, so why not stop in and see you guys live?
Nerd.
Hey, live studio interviews are better than phone.
Not going to turn you down, but you just realize you don't have to do this.
Right, okay. Especially game after a night game or something like that. You know, you don't need to be rolling in.
Well, it's a night game after a day game, so this is why I'm here. But if it's a day game, I wouldn't be here.
You wouldn't be here. No, fair enough. That's good. Just so you know, you don't have to come running in for these interviews. But you're right. They are better in studio. How did it go? I mean, Ned gave you a little static from the get-go, didn't he?
Very nice job first night. You just got up and walked away from it.
He did.
Yeah, Ned actually messed with me a couple times this weekend. That was, once you do your three questions with Ned, because 6:10, we get the first three questions. I did with Vern. I've seen Vern do for 5 years. He has three questions, and he gets down and goes sit down.
Right.
That's exactly what I did. But old Ned wanted to tease me about that. And then Saturday he came in, and actually I asked him questions that are open-ended where he can't just give me a yes or no.
Well, sure.
Because he's dying to do that. And I know he is. So I played a little game with Ned. So I come in and I asked about Keller or Junis. I said, well, you said before the game you would go out there at 70 pitches to see Jake Junis. And that's exactly what Ned did at 73 pitches to check on Junis. And I said, did he talk you into staying on the mound because he kept him in? And Ned goes, yes. And then he looked over at me and smiled like he was going to come in no matter what I asked and give me a one word. So that's his little game. So I'm playing this little game. Yeah, he did that too. So,
but that's good though. I mean, I think I've always said if I'm messing with you, that's a sign that I like you. If I don't mess with you, if I just give you a standard answer, it means I really want nothing to do with you. So it's good that you're obviously on the good side of Ned and he likes that kind of stuff. It's good to have that kind of fun relationship like we do with him every Wednesday. You know, we just have a fun time with him. And that's what you got to do. I mean, look, the team's not going to make the playoffs this year. I feel confident in saying that.
Wait, what?
October, I'm not going to be doing
probably not. Post-games? Probably not. Maybe in the next couple of years you will. But I mean, they are 3-0.
Online only, Jay. Online only.
they are 3-0 since you have taken over as Royals insider. I mean, so I don't know if it was Vern that was jinxing these guys or whatever, but they are undefeated since you have taken over this job.
Well, the weird thing about it is they have 14 home wins. I've seen three of them. they got the lowest. They're the only team in Major League Baseball under 15 home wins. Even the Orioles have 16 wins at home. So, yes, it is very bizarre that they keep winning. But I don't want to jinx it.
Right.
You know, like before the game, Vern usually asks the first questions. I have not been. I've been asking like 2 and 3 and 4. And I told Ned Sunday, I said, hey, because everybody's staring at me. Like everybody in the media, for some reason, they wait for me and Vern. And now they wait for me to like ask all these questions. They're staring at me. So I'm just, you know, I'm doing the questions. And Sunday was me and Scoop, believe it or not.
Yeah.
So great relationship I have with Scoop at this point. But been covering this team for 30 years. So I didn't want to jinx it. And Ned said, don't worry about jinxes. Then he told me last night, because Swanee goes, well, they're undefeated with you, Jay, or something like this. And then Ned goes, well, if we lose, it's not his fault. So like Ned You're does not believe hook. In jinxes. So. I think he does, but he says he doesn't.
Yeah, Ned always has been one of those guys that doesn't kind of believe in the jinx, which is so different from baseball in general, because all these cats got weird ass superstitions. Like they do weird things. Baseball players, I think, are the weirdest of the four professional sports. Like with this, the way that they handle things. Like football players don't have time for that. Yep. Hockey players just beat each other up. NBA players just do whatever they want to do. Baseball players have a lot of dead time, a lot of games, and a lot of ability to think about what worked last night and what did I do with my batting gloves and make sure everything's the same to try to have that same kind of success.
Well, look what the Royals do. You'll sometimes see the pants pulled up, where you see socks, and sometimes they'll pull it all the way down.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, you can tell when a player's slumping, they will wear their socks different and how they wear their uniform. You see the Royals do it all the time. A couple years ago, Whit Merrifield had a hit streak going on. And I'd asked him if he wanted to come on with the drive. It was the drive a couple years ago when they do those live interviews out there.
Sure.
And he says, I don't know, like it was superstitious. And then he's doing a group interview, And he said, no, I'm not superstitious. And I kind of looked at him like he had just told me he wasn't, he was superstitious. He said he wasn't. Then he comes over after that interview because he saw me hear that. And he says, all right, I'll go do it. And then he proceeded to lose his winning or his hitting streak that night. So it did jinx
you're
it.
Super. You could be superstitious about not being superstitious.
Yes.
Right.
Or being superstitious.
Right. Or you could be,
full circle.
Yeah. I'm doing the same thing, eating the same things every day to keep this to 4-0 tonight. So everything's the same.
So what's on the menu? A cheese sauce? Stuff?
Nachos first, then hot dogs, and then a pretzel.
You do what you got to do, man.
That order.
What's been the difference, do you think? Why have they won these three games?
You know what's funny is since 2013, only the Cleveland Indians have a better record than the Royals after the All-Star break. Like, if you take the All-Star break on since 2013, 5 years, the Cleveland Indians and the Kansas City Royals, the only two teams with over 200 wins since after 2013, Ned basically just explained it as giving the guys, like Andy Reid handled the bye week. You know, we just let them get out of here, let them clear their head, and that's what he wanted the Royals to do. And I'm sure a lot of guys do that in Major League Baseball. I don't think that what the Royals do is anything more unusual than other teams do. But Ned's just got a different approach. I mean, his managing style has been all over the place in a good way. Ned's had to learn to manage a rebuild. Ned had to learn to manage a team that was really good, the best team in Major League Baseball. And now he's dealing with a team with young kids coming up once again like he did before. And to be honest with you, I think he's having fun with it. He's really not down. You would think this season would have Ned down.
Yeah.
But I think he enjoys seeing Keller. I think he enjoys seeing what Junis did the other night. That's what makes him happy. He's happy when Mondesi does something, which he should be back soon. He's on his family emergency leave. Nothing wrong with him. I don't know the details. They don't go into the details on that. Just family emergency, you're gone. He should be back this week. And Brian Goodwin, that the Royals traded for yesterday, the outfielder from the Nationals, he should be on there today. He's going to be put on the 25-man roster. Doesn't have any options left, so he's got to play.
Yeah.
Essentially, that's Abraham Almonte named Brian Goodwin.
Well, I think what's interesting about you mentioned Ned having fun, and I think if he didn't win a world championship and went back-to-back World Series, yeah, he's got street cred now. He can kind of come and go and do what he wants. The accident this past offseason, I think everything has kind of put it in perspective. This is a game, man. I'm managing these kids. Why not have fun doing this when it's probably going to be, my last 18 months doing this because he's got maybe one more year after this year finishes up or whatnot. So you're looking at it potentially, this season and next season. Why not enjoy it and make the most out of it instead of not enjoying what's going on? It's baseball,
Ned gets it, and that's what makes him a good manager. You would think a hard ass like Ned Yost, old school guy. He's really not.
When
it comes to relating to the players and letting them play their music, letting them be who they are, you might see Ned Yost as this staunch disciplinarian and always yelling at Vern, but he likes Vern. And he was just Ned has a way to just play with you. Mm-hmm. And he literally is having fun this year. He's not taking the job too seriously. And this does well for the players. They don't feel this pressure to perform every night. They just go out and do it.
Yeah.
I asked Ned yesterday what the approach in baseball is, because in football, I've known football coaches that will tell me when they go back and watch game film and they take over a job, they don't care to watch film when you're up 20. They want to look and see who plays hard when you're down 30, meaning who's going to play the best when we're down. And this is what the Royals are. Who's going to give me that effort now that we're 40 games under 500, 39, 38 games under 500? Who's going to be that player that still dives at first base or rounds third like Trubi Terry yesterday and doesn't care what the record is, doesn't care that you're in last place, doesn't care you have the second worst record in Major League Baseball and give you that effort? That's what Ned's looking for. That's all he wants is effort.
Could you have outrun Trubi Terry yesterday?
No, but I will say this. When he rounded second, he started to run out of gas, and Ned Yost described it as running underwater.
Mm-hmm.
Ned said, I thought he had it when he rounded second, and then when he starts rounding third, I wasn't sure anymore. Yes, that's when he said that, but he was running out of steam. But Butera gets the inside the Parker, the first Royals inside the Parker from a catcher in 27 years, believe it or not, from Brett Maine.
When they said Brett Maine, I'm like, I don't remember Maine doing that in the early 2000s.
He did it twice.
They went back to the 90s when he was first up with the Royals when he was a young kid. That's when he did it.
You know, there hadn't been a catcher doing Major League Baseball since 2015.
Wow.
JT Realmuto from the Marlins. So this has not been done in 3 years in Major League Baseball.
Mentioned the 3-0 start, guys. I know it's just three games. It's a small window. But I also just like that they did respond. I mean, the challenge was go home, take a breath, relax, stop gripping the bat. All those things you're doing to put so much pressure on yourself, just take a breath, relax, and come out and perform.
Mm-hmm.
And they did. And not to say that they're going to reel off, 8, 9 games in a row or whatever right now, But I like to see just a little bit of response from your manager. Kind of a challenge as well. Go do this, but then come back and let's see a little bit of fight, a little bit of fire, even in a short window in one series. I like the fact that it seems like they responded to their manager.
Yeah, not only that, they're playing for jobs. I mean, they're playing to keep those checks for Major League Baseball. They're playing to stay on a roster. They're staying to increase and move up in the rotation like a Junis, like a Keller. Both of them responded to bad performances. Junis has not been good. Right. He was really good the other night, even though he only goes four innings. Keller had come back to earth. He'd only gone 4 2/3 and 2 2/3 in his last two starts, but he responds yesterday with the career-high strikeout game with 8. He commanded it. He threw strikes. He hadn't had a lot of strikeouts this year for the innings he's pitched. But that was a good sign. And to me, that's what the season's about. It's about Junis. It's about Keller. It's about Mondesi. It's about Soler whenever he comes back. Whenever he comes back, he's eligible the end of this month. But dude's walking around on crutches in a cast in the club. Not a cast, but a big walking boot. So it's going to be a while.
Yeah, it's the KU walking boot.
You never know about the walking boot.
I need a walking boot.
It could be just about a little anything.
Jay Binkley, our Royals insider, brought to you by Dunkin' Donuts. Before we let you get out of here, Jay, what was the point of that trade yesterday? Like, why the Royals traded a guy who was halfway decent in single A from a pitching standpoint to get a fifth outfielder? What's the backstory?
The Royals like having an accumulation of outfielders. Not good for Paulo Orlando, by the way. But the good one is a guy that can play left field, center field, right field. So, it's one of these moves where Ned can pencil in a guy, either spot in the outfield. Showed a little pop last year with the Nationals. Had 13 home runs. And this year, he's a decent player, but just didn't fit into the Nationals. They're going five-man rotation in the outfield. He was not part of their future. A-ball pitcher in Lexington. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know the direction they want to go. They drafted so many college pitchers this year. Really, pitching is not a worry for the Kansas City Royals because you're looking in the bullpen at Lovelady in Omaha, in Stamont when they get to Kansas City, and then you get your starters like Coar and Brady Singer. Coar, by the way, has already pitched twice in Lexington. He was the college pitcher from Florida they drafted second. So they just wanted a little outfield help. And Goodwin's a young guy, 27 years old.
Former first-round pick.
In 2011. So he just needs that spot, that chance. Don't forget, Whit Merrifield played Major League Baseball about the same age as Brian Goodwin. It took Whit a while, and maybe they see something in Goodwin that he can develop at 27 years old. Don't forget, Whit turns 30 this year. That's crazy. But he was a late bloomer, and they hope Goodwin is too.
Our new Royals insider, Jay Binkley. Next week, you don't have to be in studio, okay?
Well, we'll see. We'll see. You never know.
Ned Yost just left me a message on your performance.
Jay, you can hear him tonight.
Yeah, I give myself a C.
At 6, leading up to Royals and Tigers as the homestand continues here on 610 Sports Radio. Your chance to win Smokehouse Barbecue. It's part 2 of Risk It for the Brisket. Next.
I'm not superstitious, but I am a little stitious.
Fesco in the morning, powered by the Jewish Community Center, 610 Sports Radio.
Brisket.
You gotta risk it to get the brisket.
Hamburgers.
You gotta risk it to get the brisket.
Barbecued beef ribs.
You gotta risk it to get the brisket.
Well, I hope you folks enjoyed yourselves. Get you later on down the trail.
This is what I call part 2 of Risk It for the Brisket. You need to be listening on Fridays at 8:15. One of us will give a prediction. Then on Mondays at 8:15, if you know who gave the prediction, what the prediction was, and whether or not they got it right or wrong, you can win a great gift pack from Smokehouse Barbecue.
I had some of that Cajun butter last night in my marinade for my chicken breast. It's fantastic. And coming up this Saturday at Smokehouse Barbecue, they got a whiskey and barbecue pairing that is going on up at the Zona Rosa location. Yes, whiskey and barbecue. So check them out at smokehousebbq.com.
And this week, a $50 gift card to Smokehouse Barbecue and a variety 4-pack of barbecue seasonings. How about that?
Cajun butter. I like that.
So today's contestant is going to be Don and Casey Moe. Don, can you tell us who made the prediction and whether or not they got it right or wrong?
All right, Friday, it was Mr. Bob, and he said that Danny would throw a no-hitter on Friday. And he did not, but he did get the win, however.
And so did you, Don. Congratulations. I'm going to predict tonight Danny Duffy throws a no-hitter.
just a bit outside.
But he pitched well and got a win, right? Did he pitch fantastic on Friday, right?
He was really, really good.
Was he not great on Friday night, huh? Huh? Bring it to me.
It's not like he had one hit.
What?
It's not like he had one hit.
He was good.
You were still wrong.
Yeah, I know I was wrong. I didn't say I was right, but I'm saying Danny was good.
Just does my heart good to hear you say I was wrong.
Oh, I say that a lot. I'm married.
That's fair points.
He allowed, what, five hits?
Five more than I thought he'd
give up. Five hits, one run, five hits, and seven innings.
Still
yeah, take
really
that.
Good.
He
You'll
was really,
that.
Really good.
Yeah.
But Don and Casey Moe was paying attention, so he wins himself a $50 gift card to Smokehouse Barbecue and a variety four-pack of barbecue seasonings as well. We'll do it again on Friday.
Yep.
Be listening at 8:15 on Friday for this week's Risk It for the Brisket, brought to you by Smokehouse Barbecue. Not a fan of what happened in Milwaukee.
No.
As Milwaukee fans,
I've been pulling for them to win the Central. Not anymore.
Yeah, I don't know what you're doing. Josh Hader, the All-Star, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who at the
All-Star
end of
bigot
at the All-Star game, it was revealed he had a bunch of tweets dating back a few years, 7 years ago, right?
Mm-hmm.
Racist, sexist, anti-gay. The whole nine.
Right, he checked every box.
You remember the story at the All-Star game last week. Well, he made his first appearance of the season in the second half for Milwaukee, and this was the response.
Welcoming Josh Hader back to Miller Park.
A standing ovation.
And the camera shots were very bad because it was like a bunch of white dudes giving a racist pitcher a standing ovation. Like, the optics were not good. Did you guys catch that as well? Like, I'm watching the video of that was online everywhere, and it's like all these white dudes standing up giving this guy a standing ovation. I'm like, man, that just doesn't sit well with me.
Now, I mean, to me, you can support him, I guess.
For what, though?
In a way that's not of our, like for forgiveness, on the side of forgiveness, right? I think there's plenty of people that says he made a mistake. You should forgive him. If
okay,
you support him that way.
I get the fine. Forgiveness aspect of
to
things,
me.
But a standing ovation
still like, didn't warrant a standing ovation as a sign of support.
Right,
and it's really really sad. To me, it came across less as forgiveness, more of an acceptance.
Well, yeah,
which to me was really really scary.
Yeah, because how bad the optics were.
You're accepting of this, a standing ovation.
Like I think when Hader comes into the game,
you go, huh?
You just okay, whatever.
Where's
it's like
guy?
Just like any normal pitching change, right? Like a pitching change happens in baseball, unless it's like the closer in the World Series. People don't get that excited when a pitching change is being made. And here's a guy that had just some really just bad tweets like 5 years ago, and the entire crowd of white dudes stands up and gives him an ovation, and they're panning the crowd,
not
and I'm
cool.
like. The optics of this are very, very, very bad. And I don't know what he said to his teammates or anything like that, but if you're a fan, I understand you want to forgive and give the guy a second chance. And I totally get that. It's America's based on that.
Yeah, you still need to give him a standing ovation.
But you don't need to give him a standing ovation.
Even if you want to, like, forgive and forget and whatever with him,
yeah.
which I don't. But
I don't know.
You know, if you choose to do that as a fan, like, standing ovation?
Just don't do any ovation.
Way too overt. Hater on getting the ovation.
Oh, it means a lot. You know, having the Milwaukee support and, you know, just knowing that they know my true character and, you know, just forgive me for my past because, you know, it's not who I am today.
Boy, with this and the Sterling Brown case, that's been a banner month for Milwaukee.
Well, I hope it's part of your past.
That's interesting,
that's
Ryan.
Part of your character.
That's interesting, Ryan, that you bring that Sterling Brown situation up because now you've had two really big incidents up there in Milwaukee with obviously Sterling Brown, the member of the Milwaukee Bucks who was tased by the police officer for no reason, and the police officer going to the social media claiming that he hoped J.R. Smith was going to park wrong at the Raw Greens parking lot and how he got to run into Sterling Brown at work. Like, really just bad social media posts by that officer. And then you have, you know, a very white crowd up there in Milwaukee giving this guy who had these horrible, not just racist, but sexist and homophobic tweets. Like, he hit the trifecta there
now,
with who he offended, giving him a standing ovation. Like, that's just not a good look for the city.
I do kind of side with this texter on the Pepper Jack's Grill famous Philly text line saying maybe, you know, people didn't know what the standing ovation was for. Maybe they didn't know what he did long ago. I was at the game just yesterday, and they did like a salute to service thing, right? And in the middle of it, like, I was taking care of our 7-month-old, and I'm not really paying attention to what's going on in between the innings, and then all of a sudden everybody's standing up and clapping. I had no idea what was going on, but I was like, okay, I'm just going to stand and clap, I guess. I'm not going to say that every single one of them were, but I think that there could have been a portion of it that were.
Not buying that one. You look at the scoreboard, you see haters up there, you know. I'm not buying that.
That shouldn't warrant that type of response.
Now, okay, maybe if one person wasn't paying attention, but the entire crowd.
What are we clapping for?
Yeah.
Josh, wait a minute.
Whoa, no.
They're not clapping.
You know, with their arms extended and their elbows bent.
No, they were into it.
That was way too unaesthetically pleasing.
Yeah, yes.
Or aesthetically unpleasing, I should say. It was very bad.
Ryan thinks he's caught Andy in a lie.
Oh, I don't think I know.
That to kick off our commercial-free half hour next.
From the MVP Electric Heating and Cooling Studios, Fesco in the Morning, powered by the J.
It's 1,000 on the 30s. Text the word SLICE to 72881. That's SLICE, SLICE, SLICE. To 72881. You could be the $1,000 cash winner in the national contest. Message and data rates may apply. If you like sports and money, 610 Sports Radio is the only place giving you a chance at up to $12,000 every weekday. Listen on the 30s, your next chance to win at 9:30. All the rules at 610sports.com. SLICE to 72881. Welcome back in. It is Fesco in the Morning on a Monday, along with Bob Fesco, Ryan Wachowski. I'm Josh Klingler. And Ryan has been salivating since Friday.
Thursday.
Was it Thursday?
I think this was a Thursday discovery.
Like a late Thursday. It was much like meat sweats or his, you know, his need for a beer.
Right.
He has been on this one for a while because he believes, nay, knows, caught Andy Reid in a lie.
This is a major discovery.
This is a major story on the eve of training camp. Really, really earth-shattering news.
This is different. You're only getting this information right here at 8:30 anywhere in America.
That's right.
I hope you're seated when you hear this.
This is unbelievable.
Last year, we might recall, Tyreek Hill had himself a bit of a terrible-looking play when he had to, like an option play, right? Mm-hmm. So he rolled to the left, and then he threw this terrible-looking pass, and it was intercepted, and we all laughed about Tyreek Hill and how bad at throwing the
ball.
Don't
ever run that play.
Kind of like Kelsey's really bad pass.
Correct. Yeah. So I'm sitting at home, and I'm watching that happen. Now, I happen to know that Fanning was out at the stadium. Mm-hmm. When I saw it happen, I thought to myself, my goodness, that was a terrible-looking throw. I don't even know if Tyreek Hill is left-handed.
Did you say self?
I did. I said self. Is he left-handed? Yeah. And so I text Fanning and I said, Fanning, will you do me a favor and ask Andy Reid, is Tyreek Hill left-handed? Because it didn't look like it on that throw. Here was the exchange.
Is Tyreek Hill left-handed?
No, we had him throw left. He's right-handed. That was a pretty dumb question. No, he is. He's left-handed.
Oh, good.
Yeah, no. You were wondering. It looked like he was right-handed. I got you.
So I felt bad immediately. Like I had
Andy
set,
shamed him. Yeah.
He did. Like I set Fanning up with a bad question to ask Andy Reid.
Well, it's a legit question because it didn't look like
it
he
did
was
not look like. So we all walk away from that cut. Andy Reid said he's left-handed, correct?
Correct.
Correct. Correct. We're all there. We're all there.
I'm not an idiot.
This is all on you because I don't recall this happening.
Recall it like it was yesterday.
Well, because it was your question. Yes.
So Andy Reid.
But you heard the answer based on that. Yes. He's saying Tyreek Hill was left-handed because why would we be idiots and have a guy throw opposite hand?
Yeah, right.
Just what Andy told you.
Yeah, he said it was a dumb question.
So we've established after that, Tyreek Hill left-handed.
Tyreek Hill is left-handed.
Okay,
now that we're
all on the same page, Tyreek Hill has a new YouTube series out. It's very riveting stuff. His second episode came out Friday. I think it was Thursday, actually. Not important. On that episode, though, he answered a bunch of questions that were asked by people on Twitter. One of the questions was, will you be working on your QBR this year? A joke about how terrible that play was.
Right.
In his response, Tyreek Hill said this.
And what people really don't know, I'm right-handed. So that, like, they call it a left-handed play, and I'm right-handed. So that's really not my fault, you know? Y'all need to get on that.
Liar!
I got you, Andy.
Not many people know this, including Andy Reid.
Right.
But I'm right-handed.
Hang on a second here. I think using the term liar is a little bit of an overstretch.
No.
Maybe Andy didn't know.
Because Bob's never overstretched about when it comes to Andy.
Which
Ryan.
Is...
So
which
keep it in check.
Let's kind of keep it even keel here. Let's be calling people liars when they're not. What we need to look at here, big picture, is... The bigger picture for me, obviously, is if Andy didn't know what hand Tyreek Hill threw with, that's a bigger indictment.
Oh, I'm sorry. What, Andy?
He's left-handed.
That's what I thought.
That to me is a bigger indictment than what is.
He was not aware which hand Tyreek Hill is.
Right. And what people really don't know, I'm right-handed.
Yeah.
Including Andy. What people don't know, including Andy, I'm right-handed.
Is I am right-handed. So the fact that he didn't know, I mean, if you're spending, I don't know, 18, 19 hours a day at the facility looking at this kind of stuff, you should probably have a little bit more detail than whether or not your guy is left-handed or right-handed before you ask him to do something.
I don't even know what to believe anymore.
Not to mention the Royals going up there with Danny Duffy with a right-handed. You know, go out there and pitch a right-handed.
If you ran this play in practice, which presumably you would practice a play like this.
I would hope you would have, right?
He either
probably
is oblivious, or maybe he looked pretty good doing it in practice left-handed. I don't know.
He convinced him that he's left-handed?
Now, you'd have to run it well enough to say, yeah, it looks good.
I mean, Andy was pretty confident.
He's left-handed.
Well, I mean, Tyreek's a hell of an athlete, right? And so if you're out on the practice field, athletes can do things we can't, you know? And so if you're running this play and he's throwing it and it looks a little awkward, you're going, well, he's not a quarterback. That's just the way he's going to throw it, right?
He's pretty athletic.
But he's dead. Let's do it in the game.
And like, what people really don't know, I'm right-handed.
this is owned my weekend. I want you to know that.
Yeah, like you've been on.
I'm telling you.
You've been on this one for like the last 4 days.
Honestly, it was a little redemption for me and Fanning. Fanning got laughed at. He was the messenger, unfortunately. I was just the puppet master behind the question.
Right.
But Andy Reid laughed at him. He mocked him.
Yeah.
I didn't like that.
What if Andy Reid didn't mock him? What if he says, no, he's really right-handed. We're just trying something tricky. Would you have cared?
No, I would have moved on with my life.
But the fact that he mocked Fanning.
No, then you still would have questioned, what are you doing? Why would you be tricky with having a play in a game?
Are you really asking that question?
In a situation. No, you wouldn't ask it. We'd all be asking that the next day.
I'm saying that. Are you really asking? Because football coaches are nuts. They got much free time. We'd all be asking
that. What are you doing? If you're going to run that play, run it to his good hand.
Right.
And that's what we'd be saying.
But football coaches are nuts, Josh. They're trying to outthink everybody. So he's thinking
enough of these goofy Andy Reid plays to say enough's enough.
Who did he throw that against? Denver,
He's running one for the opposite dude's hand.
Yeah, it was in Denver, right?
So it was against Denver. So what Andy Reid is thinking, they know he's going to roll out to the right. So let's do it to the left, and that way we catch it. Because
give him the old okey-doke and have him throw with his non-dominant hand.
That's because football coaches have way too much time trying
to
outthink.
Body right-handed.
What a great idea.
I'm telling you, there's a couple of things here. Number one, they're trying to outthink the competition. Number two, Andy had no idea what Andy threw. Or number three, he just made a mistake and called the wrong play.
I just think Andy didn't know. Andy thought he was left-handed.
Wouldn't you ask?
Yeah.
When you're practicing the play? All right, what I want you to do is I want you to roll out to the left and then try to complete it in the back of the end zone. You can do that, right? No, I'm right-handed. Oh, okay. Then we'll flip the play.
I would just think, too, if you're running it left that first time and you're right-handed, you're still going to throw it right-handed.
Well,
and then you throw.
You don't want
the
to throw across your body.
Then
though,
you throw across
point.
Your body and you do it, and you go, "Oh, you're not left-handed." And he goes, "No, I'm right-handed." I go, "Oh, well, scrap this play then."
Maybe.
I mean, how does it get to the? How does it get through the checks and balances one in the game?
Here's how it happened. Tyreek Hill walked by the quarterback room one time and heard Nagy saying to Mahomes, "Stop throwing across your body." And so he just assumed that meant for everybody as he was walking through the hallways. Sure. So he decided he didn't want to get yelled at by anybody, so he wasn't going to throw across his body. So he just decided to throw it with his left hand.
Ryan, you've opened up a massive can of worms.
There's so many different areas.
What a dumb mountain to make out of this molehill, but I was excited when I heard him say that the other day.
I'm right-handed.
Yes, you are, Tyreek. Yes, you are. Sing it from the rooftop.
I'm right-handed.
Andy Reid's calling plays again this year, folks. Be prepared for more of.
How do we rebuild the trust between Andy Reid and myself now is really the biggest
question. Well, I think if you guys share a steak dinner, you'll be okay. Okay. If Andy comes in here with some sous vide meat, would you be all right?
Yeah, we'll bury the hatchet. We'll bury the hatchet for that.
Hey, coach, sous vide me up a steak and I'll eat it. And then we'll be good.
I've got the meat sweats.
Yeah, you'll be fine.
Motivation's a good thing in sports, and where it comes from sometimes doesn't really matter. Sometimes, though, it comes from very strange places. We find this from the world of baseball. David Ortiz, speaking with Barstool Sports, he had motivation from, let's just say, his wife to hit triples.
When you hit a triple, I noticed that you got really, really excited about that. Well, I thought that was always fun to watch. How excited.
My wife made me some offer.
Yeah.
Behind the scenes.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
That's why I always want to accomplish a triple. One game I hit two.
Yeah.
I don't know if you remember that. My wife take off running.
She was like, hell no. That's too much. That's too much.
I hit two in a game. My wife went off.
What was her offer?
I don't know. He never didn't say.
Oh.
Didn't say. He had, if I hit a triple, will you do this? Apparently she said yes. So he hit triples.
Probably sous vide some meat for me.
Yeah, that's probably what it was.
I don't think that's
my wife said she would sous vide me a steak if I would hit a triple.
Don't think that was the case.
You don't think it was?
I don't think so.
What do you think it was?
I don't know. I don't know.
Anybody?
Motivation is a good thing, I guess.
Yeah.
Forced David Ortiz to hit some triples.
Like, that guy needed motivation to do it. Like, he was one of the great hitters of that generation, right? Did he really need his wife to say, you need to hit triples, so I'm going to motivate you to hit triples?
They need to go back and look, though, and see if he ever stopped at third when he could have had it inside the Parker.
Probably not.
There was more incentive in order to do so.
Not everybody has the wheels tonight. Of Drew Butera.
I feel sexy tonight.
Dead air is bad for radio.
Well, I didn't know what you guys were all talking over there. I didn't know what was going on. I wasn't going to interrupt.
Looking ahead.
Yeah, can't be doing that.
Coming up, we're going to give away a pair of tickets for Rivalry Renewed, presented by Sheet Metal Workers Local Union Number 2, Saturday, July 28th at Silverstein Ice Center Arena in Independence. And we'll give away tickets coming up in just a few minutes for that. The Brewers, in addition to giving standing ovations for Josh Hader,
right,
which is really awesome, were in, they thought, on the Manny Machado deal. Then they found out for them the price tag was too high.
The Manny Machado saw standing ovations for Josh Hader's like, I ain't interested in Milwaukee.
I'll go to Los Angeles. He didn't have much say in that. No. But the Dodgers presented a much better trade scenario. But the Brewers, one of those teams that could be making some deals, price too high for Manny Machado. And now some people in Milwaukee pointing towards the possibility of Whit Merrifield being a candidate to head to the Brewers.
They still need a second baseman.
And they could be putting together a package, which maybe, according to maybe some, could be better than the Manny Machado package.
Yeah, like more for Whit Merrifield than what they were willing to offer for Manny Machado. When you think about it on the surface, you're like, whoa, that's just a dumb move by the Brewers. But Manny Machado gets you half a season and maybe the postseason. Whit Merrifield, I think the last I checked, has, 17 more years of team control or something like that, where he can, he can play at least 47 before he becomes a free agent. So you would think a guy with a lot of team control and a very low salary would command more back in return than a guy with an expiring contract who will probably leave as a free agent after the season. And the Milwaukee Brewers, again, kind of a desperate team right now. Whit Merrifield would be a nice piece on their roster and in their organization. And I struggle with this one, Josh. I feel like a flip-flopper all the time with this Whit Merrifield thing, because on one hand I can say, oh, that's a good move, I like that trade. And on the other hand, I go, no, I don't want to trade Whit Merrifield. But you have to think about it. And when George was talking about it at Dayton's Wiffle Ball Tournament and saying, 3 years from now we expect to be back. Well, in 3 years, Whit Merrifield's going to be 34 years old. And how good is Whit Merrifield going to be at 34 years old playing second base? Would you rather deal him now when he's still fairly young and be able to get a couple of guys back in return that can really be the future? I mean, Whit Merrifield, I've said it before, could be our version of Zach Greinke that we saw a couple of years ago, or almost a decade ago now. So I think with this Whit Merrifield situation, you can't close the book and say, we're not trading Whit Merrifield. You have to keep that door open and have to keep the ability to have conversations with teams out there, because the Milwaukee Brewers in the next, 10 days, 9 days, 8 days, whatever it is to the trade deadline, hell, they may get desperate and they may decide to throw in their number one prospect, who's a second baseman right now in their system that everybody is raving about. And so if they're willing to throw in their top prospect in their system, that is a second baseman for your current second baseman, well, that second baseman for the Brewers that's still in the minors right now, it's got a better chance of being part of something in the next couple of years and for a longer term, obviously, than Whit Merrifield at a much younger age, too.
This from The Athletic. It's unclear if their strategy has changed, talking about the Brewers, but with Machado off the board, it's possible because they didn't want to give up. You know, five prospects was a lot to give up for Manny Machado, let's be honest. Five for one in that regard.
Right.
To acquire Merrifield would take a premium, a package similar to one they were unwilling to surrender for Machado. Quote, a lot, one rival executive said. Under control and cheap for multiple years. Three higher-end prospects at least. Top 10 to 15 prospect plus one to two younger upside players, another baseball executive said. Quote, I think it takes an intriguing headliner. This would be what it would take to acquire Whit Merrifield from the Royals.
Mm-hmm.
I'm good with that.
Yeah.
Royals, name your price. If they don't meet your price, don't move them.
Right.
Stay firm with, oh, if we're talking to you, you know we want this guy, and this guy.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have to come off that, right?
Right.
And another team could be the same thing. Well, in your system, we want this guy, and this guy, or we're not making this happen.
Right. This is what we're looking so at here. There's no bargaining if you want him.
Stay your price.
Yeah. Now, would you only be giving up Whit Merrifield, though, too? That's the other question. What else would the Royals potentially have to throw into a deal to get him?
Would it take another player to be involved to get to three prospects?
Maybe. If you want to throw in Matt Cassel, I'm good with that. Lou Kochaver back in, 2009, something like that. I'm good with those type of moves that, that fans always want the Royals to make. But if it's Whit Merrifield for three guys, I'm okay, fine. I can see doing that deal. But if it's Whit Merrifield and somebody else, I don't know. Like, that's why I'm glad I'm not sitting in Dayton's chair right now to have to make that decision. I think whatever move you decide to make with Whit Merrifield, I don't think there's really a bad move that you can make. If you keep him, great. We know he's a really good baseball player, and sure, he can be part of your future, and maybe by the time they're ready to win in a couple of years, he is a little bit long in the tooth, but can still be part of something and help this organization move forward. But if you decide to trade Whit Merrifield, you're getting a really nice return for a guy like that, and those guys could potentially help you for the longer term than what Merrifield can. So I think it's a situation that I think you're not going to lose either way. Whatever you decide to do, I think I can get behind for the Kansas City Royals. I think I can look at that and go, okay, that's why they did that or that's why they didn't do that. I just don't think it's a losing proposition regardless of what you decide to do with him.
All right, we're going to give you three clues to a player that's playing in the Rivalry Renewed presented by Sheet Metal Workers Local Union Number 2. It is Saturday, July 28th. Silverstone Ice Center Arena in Independence. Former Mizzou players taking on former KU players. Yes, MU and KU going toe-to-toe. Portion of all proceeds will benefit the Boys and Girls Club of Greater Kansas City through the Rush Forward Foundation. And you get your tickets now at rivalryrenewed.com. We're going to give you a chance to win a pair of tickets. Three clues involving a player involved. You know the player involved. Give us a call when we ask for it at 913-576-7610. First clue, Big 12 Co-Defensive Player of the Year. Big 12 Co-Defensive Player of the Year. Interesting story, Bob, out of Philadelphia that involves Kansas City, at least here as we are today and possibly in the future when it comes to if you're on the side of wanting to recruit a team to Kansas City, another team to Kansas City. Philadelphia's right in their window, right? With the Sixers.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Right in the window now of turning the corner and getting a bunch of people and all those things because that team looks like it's moving forward. They're also renovating their arena.
Yeah.
And their arena's not that old.
Well, it's older than you think.
It's older than you think, yes. But the Wells Fargo Center was built in 1996.
Uh-huh.
Okay? So you are talking 22 years.
Right.
Okay?
That 22 years went fast, didn't
it? It very much did.
Yeah.
There were plans, though, to even start renovating sooner than this.
Right.
And they haven't got 22 years. Okay. They're looking at, though, a major now renovation to change some of the setup of the arena to accommodate what?
Millennials.
Kind of.
Yeah.
The newer
way of viewing a game.
Of viewing a game, which is give us some other things to do while we're watching a game.
Right. We just don't want a chair and a $10 beer. We want activity. We want something going on. Like the Royals, I think, were really ahead of their time with Craft and Draft. I mean, when you think about it, they were one of the first to put a kind of an area like that into the ballpark where you could kind of, you know, do different things and go up there and sample a bunch of different beers and have that kind of open area to stand around and mingle and talk. And, you know, when the Royals first did that, I'm like, oh, that's kind of interesting that they're doing something like that. But since they've done that Craft and Draft, I don't want to say they're the trendsetter on this, you're starting to see that a lot more around stadiums. I think the Chiefs, when they originally opened New Arrowhead, they had that upstairs bar on the upper deck that was wide open and you could walk around and mingle and hang out there. And they removed some seats to have common like that common area. And what they're doing in Philadelphia, which I found to be very interesting, is they're taking out luxury suites. Remember, that was always the
gotta have suites.
Well, now they're realizing here we are in 2018. The business climate in Philadelphia isn't what it was in 1996. There's more businesses, but not as many businesses spending the money like they were back then. So the suites have kind of become a dinosaur. They're getting rid of the luxury suites. They're blowing out luxury suites, and they're making those common areas where you can go hang out at, like, the Ford Bar or something like that, and everybody's just kind of there hanging out, milling around with tables and whatnot, and you can have more of a bar-type atmosphere with the game going on.
More open space and socially interactive fan experience areas,
right,
is what they're calling them.
Which is what they are.
And bunker luxury boxes.
Which is pretty cool. Like luxury boxes underground that's going to have entrances up to seats that will be courtside. You won't have luxury box that you watch the game from. You'll have luxury box that have access to the glass seats or to the floor seats when you go watch hockey or basketball.
Yes.
And it got me to thinking about Kansas City a little bit because we're looking at an arena now that's over 10 years old. We still don't have a tenant. For whatever reason, last week, everybody and their brother thought we're getting a basketball team here in Kansas City. And I thought, you know, this story
based
is
on yet another fledgling minor league basketball operation.
Right.
But, yeah.
Exactly. This could be the gateway for the NBA.
No, it's not.
No, it's not.
Yeah.
It's not the gateway to anything.
The KC Tornadoes aren't the stepping stone towards the NBA?
They're not.
Hate to break it to them.
Yeah, hate to break it to everybody. It's not a gateway team, okay? It just isn't, and that's not going to assure that the NBA is going to come here to Kansas City. But we always had
the caveat of, look at this nice, sparkling new arena
that's
perfectly set up to house a team.
Right. Now, 10 years in, it's still a beautiful arena.
It is.
But now it may be kind of a dinosaur with all of those luxury suites, because Sprint Center, while they have the Founders Club, that's behind. That's not in front. You don't see the game or the match or whatever's going on in front of you if you're back in that Founders Club or that concert. The Sprint Center may have to start talking about renovations. And renovations aren't cheap. The renovations to the Wells Fargo Center in Philadelphia are costing $250 million, which I think is $30 million more than the building cost when they built it in 1996.
More expensive to renovate.
Yes.
Second clue, drafted by the T-Wolves. Drafted by the Minnesota Timberwolves. That's our second clue.
Mm-hmm. So if we're seriously going to consider bringing a team, if you will, to Kansas City, a town like Philadelphia, which I think is the fourth largest city in America, isn't garnering enough corporate support for suites that they're getting rid of those. And that's what I've always come back to when I look about bringing a fourth team to Kansas City. Do we have the corporate support? And if Philadelphia is talking about not having, Josh, the proper corporate support to sell suites and to do what they need to do at an arena with a team that's on the cusp of being a dominating team for the next, I don't know, 5, 6, 7 years, however long an era lasts in the NBA, what does that mean for us? Are we going to have the corporate support that's necessary for a team that really does nothing? And if it's a relocated team, that means it's been a pretty bad team and nobody's cared to go watch that team. That's why they're relocating to a new city. So those are the things that you have to factor in. And it's really something to kind of keep an eye on with Sprint Center. Are they going to look to start renovating and blowing out some of their suites at Sprint Center and putting in more of these common areas, which are becoming the common practice? And I go back to our baseball trip in Houston. We had great seats and phenomenal seats for the games. We did not sit in them. We stayed in the common area in center field because it was more fun. It was more of a party. It was a better atmosphere out there than it was just to kind of sit in your seat and watch a game. And so those are the things that people want now going to a game. The St. Louis Cardinals are doing something like that. And who knows if Sprint Center decides to do something like that going forward.
Our third clue for a player involved in the rivalry renewed. His number 15 is retired by KU. 913-576-7610. If you could tell us that player involved in rivalry renewed, you're going to win a pair of tickets to head to the event on July the 28th. Big story.
It's the big story.
Big, big, big.
It's what you're talking about.
If it was a regular salad, I wouldn't have said anything. But you had to have that big
salad. You want it? We got it. Now.
Well, that does sound big.
All right, big story brought to you by Red Door Grill. He's having a day already today, man. Our president really Twitters well.
He does.
It is impressive. When he goes in strong. Remember back in the day when a president would talk tough to another nation? We all went, yeah, attaboy. Pat him on the back when Ronald Reagan would talk tough.
Tear down that wall.
Everybody loved it.
Well,
you don't mess with us. It's great. The reaction isn't quite the same when you do it on Twitter.
No.
And this particular president, nothing reaction-wise is ever the same. But
I like this tweet.
This is unbelievable that this is the route you go, though. He tweeted to the Iranian president today. Because there's no other ways to communicate with him. So you throw it out there on Twitter.
Yeah, with the time difference.
In all caps. In all caps as well. Never, ever threaten the United States again or you will suffer consequences, the likes of which few throughout history have ever suffered before.
Good.
We are no longer a country that will stand for your demented words of violence and death. Be cautious.
Nice.
I love that this is where we are today, that you don't, in any walk of, doesn't have to be the president, you don't even pick up the phone anymore. You just throw it out on social media and call it good.
Well, he's responding to the president of Iran who said, Mr. Trump, don't play with the lion's tail. This would only lead to regret. America should know that peace with Iran is the mother of all peace and war with Iran is the mother of all wars. Yeah, I'm not taking that either if I'm the president. Oh, okay. You want to go? Here's fighting words, pal. Donald Trump's protecting our honor.
I guess. Maybe it just comes across different in his speech versus on Twitter. You know what I mean?
Well, everything comes across differently when you talk about it versus tweet
about
it.
I'm just saying when it was a speech, you go, yeah. When it's on Twitter, it's like you're using Twitter to do this? Like you don't have a receptionist? It's like, put me through to the president of Iran. Please hold, Mr. President.
Josh, what makes more of an impact?
Hey, President Rouhani, never ever threaten the United States again or you'll suffer the consequences of likes to which few throughout history have ever suffered before. Click.
But that's not going to get the run. He wants to show the American people that he has our back.
By the way, it should be of note as well that Twitter is blocked in Iran.
It is?
Yeah. Oh. Since 2009. They lifted it for a brief second in 2013 for one day, and then they reblocked Twitter and Facebook.
I'm with the president.
It's not
you
a bad
can't
idea,
even
though.
Get Twitter and Facebook
but
in
if
Iran.
if he's following Trump, he will still get.
Oh, he'll hear.
Oh, he'll hear about
he'll it. He'll find still, out about this.
Days later, it. He will hear about it.
Carrier pigeon will bring this to him, and he'll be very upset.
Your demented words of violence and death. Be cautious.
Yeah. That's just the first. He's on a roll today.
Is he?
Yeah. I mean,
any anthem tweets?
He's
this
like,
morning?
I'm just saying, there's days where he tweets like once or twice, whatever. He tweets every day, obviously, but the start of his day, and he's up to like, you know, 7, 8, 9 now. I mean, He's setting the agenda for the week.
I'm just waiting for him to tweet that gif of Michael Jackson eating popcorn back to him. As soon as that happens, my day is done.
That's right. Your day will be made. There's your big story brought to you by Red Door Grill. Rick in KC, your winner of Rivalry Renewed tickets today. He knew the player we were describing, Mario Chalmers.
Or the Crying Jordan. That would be a good one,
That'd be a good one, too. Anytime you use the Crying Jordan, still funny to me. Mario Chalmers, one of the former Jayhawks we'll be playing in Rivalry Renewed, was the Big 12 Co-Defensive Player of the Year in 2007. Was drafted by the Timberwolves. People probably forget that.
Of course, yes. Like
and
this person right here.
His number 15 retired to me by too. Kansas.
People probably forget that. Yes.
Many people.
Another chance to win tickets tomorrow at 8:45.
I think I did a good job.
Get all the information, rivalryrenewed.com for more.
No talent.
Who's the most indispensable for your team? We'll discuss next.
Fesco in the morning, powered by the Jewish Community Center, 610 Sports Radio.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.